Highbridge Audio presents Mr. Rosenblum Dreams in English by Natasha Solomons. Read by James Adams. Chapter 1. It will be cloudy and dull this evening and tonight with periods of rain, the rain being moderate or heavy in many districts. Fog will be extensive on high ground with fog patches along the south coast. Tomorrow, more general and heavy rain will spread from the southwest with temperatures of approximately 57 degrees. That concludes the weather summary. A further news bulletin may be heard at 1:45. Jack Rosenblum switched off the wireless and nestled back into his leather armchair. A beatific smile spread across his face and he closed his eyes. "So there is to be more rain," he remarked to the empty room, stretching out his short legs and giving a yawn. He was unconcerned by the dismal prognosis. It was the act of listening to the bulletin that he savoured. Each evening during the weather forecast, he could imagine he was an Englishman. When the forecast was stopped through the war, he grieved on behalf of the British, aware what loss this absence would inflict. And when it started again, he listened in religiously, happily considering all the Englishmen and women hearing light drizzle on high ground at the same instant as he. Through the daily weather reports, he felt himself to be part of a nation. The prediction may be sleet in Scotland and sunshine in the West Midlands, but the ritual of the weather forecast united them all. The national preoccupation had been rightfully restored, and in his soul Jack rejoiced. He stared out of the window, watching the rain trickle down the pane. Beyond, the tatty grass of the garden ran up to a dilapidated fence, and on the other side was the heath. No one had mended the fence. It had been falling down since 1940, but there was no new wood with which to mend it. He could have found some on the black market with a little Schwarzgeld, but the simple truth was that he, like everyone else in London, had ceased to notice the shabbiness of his surroundings. Over the last 10 years, the city had slowly decayed, cracks appearing in even the smartest facade, but the people of London, like the spouse of a fading beauty, had grown far too familiar with the city to notice her decline. It was left for those who had returned from exile to observe with dismay the drab degeneration of the once great capital. London was blackened and smoke-stained, with great gaping holes strewn with rubble. Jack was not like the other refugees, who, in the most part, were quite happy to build their own tiny towns within the great city. He agreed with his neighbours that the role of the Jew was not to be noticed. If no one noticed you, then you became like a park bench, useful if one thought about it, but you did not stand out. Assimilation was the secret. Assimilation. Jack had said the word so often to himself that he heard it as a hiss and a shibboleth. He was tired of being different. He did not want to be doomed like the wandering Jew to walk endlessly from place to place, belonging nowhere. Besides, he liked the English and their peculiarities. He liked their stoicism under pressure. On the wall in his factory he kept a copy of a war poster emblazoned with the crown of King George and underneath the words, "Keep calm and carry on." Their city was crumbling all around them, the people dressed in utility clothing. There were only wizened vegetables, dry brown bread and miserable slivers of bacon from Argentina in the shops. Yet the men shaved and dressed for dinner, and their wives served them the grey food on their best pattern china. All the British were alike. Even as the empire collapsed and the pound tumbled, they maintained that they were at the centre of the world, and anyone coming to England must be here to learn from them. The idea that the traveller from India or America might have some wisdom to impart was ludicrous. The British stood tall in their trilby or bowler hats and discussed the weather. Jack had lived amongst them for 15 years. He felt like one of those new-fangled anthropologists employed by mass observation. But while they were busy surveying the population, listening in on the conversations of coal miners in pubs and on buses, housewives and earls in lions' corner houses, Jack was only interested in one subspecies, the English middle class. He wanted to be a gentleman, not a gent. He wanted to be Mr. J. M. Rosenblum. Jack aspired to be an Englishman from the very first moment he and his wife Sadie disembarked at Harwich in August 1937. Dazed from the journey and clutching a suitcase in each hand, they had picked their way along the gangplank, trying not to slip in their first English drizzle. Sadie's brand new shoes made her unsteady, but she was determined to arrive in her host nation smartly dressed and not like a schnorrer.